He's humble.
Coach Walsh, without you, I'm not standing on this stage today.
He's a man of honor.
When we huddle up as a team. I advocate that we take the lead of football and huddle up as a people, as a great nation.
He's lifted the Lombardi. He's earned the gold jacket. And now he's laser focused on a championship for the faithful.
San Francisco!
Here's 49ers GM and Hall of Famer John Lynch with Tolbert and Copes on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Time for our bi-weekly conversation with the GM of the Niners, John Lynch. What's going on, John?
What's up, Tommy? Hey, Copes. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. You said last week, all we need is a win. You got it.
Yeah, everything's better. It's unbelievable, you know. In the world we live in, it's so week to week, so day to day. But that's never changed in sports, right? Every win just cures with it's the best deodorant, right? And it just makes everything better, and that's certainly been the case. And I think probably having the defending world champs, a real rival, a really good team is probably exactly what we needed. I think we're in that stage of the year in today's football, it seems, where everybody's trying to find themselves and figure out who they are as a team. And, there's always newness to these teams, and it's the teams that find out that, in the biggest hurry or find a way to win games while you're in the process of doing that. That perform the best. And I think it took us playing the Rams to get kind of our swagger back and realize, you know what, we're pretty good. And I thought our guys played like it. I thought we left a lot of opportunities on the field. I mean, I felt like we could have blown those guys off the field. And so I think that's a good thing, that we still have a lot to shoot for. We're not executing at a high enough level, but we're getting better. And I thought the other night was an important step in that process.
Well, interesting. Last year you had a really good defense, but the cornerbacks were obviously an issue. You didn't have enough of them. This year you got a bunch of them. And the only question mark I had coming into the season, John, was the safety position. Like, how was the safety? Well, that's no longer an issue. It just seems like all three levels are fantastic. There's no weakness. I don't know how you attack the defense, but you got to feel really, really confident that you're barring injuries, which always happen, but you can never prepare for them, you're taken care of. Like, all lines on defense are pretty much all boxes are checked.
Yeah, it's a really solid group, and I like their mentality. I mean, you can have all the talent, but then it's like, what's your standard? And I think, number one, we're led by a head coach who, despite his background as an offensive player, he understands and is all for it when we want to put our resources there. He understands that helps you win football games. So I think it starts there. D'Amico has just been I remember losing Robert Saleh and going, geez, how are we going to replace this guy? Because Robert was so good and so smart. And D'Amico has just been everything we ever could have wanted and more, and he's so steady with that group. They have so much respect for him. We really have a good group of assistant coaches, guys like Chris Kocurek and Johnny Holland, Daniel Bullocks, Corey Unlin. It's a really solid group of coaches that we have a lot of continuity there, too. We've added some new coaches with guys like Nick Sorensen, those guys do a great job, but it comes down to the players, and the players hold themselves to a really high standard. They've got great leaders like Fred Warner, Eric Armstead, and Nick Bosa, and these guys, and then there's some fantastic players. But you're right, being strong at all three levels. And then I think the depth of this unit is kind of what strikes me. It's not just the frontline players. We got a lot of depth, and I've been here before on great defenses, and it's easy to have spurts and to do it for a month, and that's all great. But to really be considered one of the greats, you got to continue to do it. I remember in Tampa, it was kind of like, man, when are they going to call us one of the greatest? Well, mm-hmm. You got to win a championship. You got to, and yep. Then it's the next thing. And so that's to be great. You got to keep You got to keep laying it down, those type of efforts, and that has to become the expectation, not just a great streak, you know, stretch of football. And these guys have that kind of mentality, so that gives me a lot of hope that there's even better stuff in front of us.
Talking to John Lynch on the UMA guest line, John, this may be a silly question, I don't know. You played the position. We've all been really enamored, I think, with what Talanoa Hufanga has done for the first 4 weeks of the season. He's been spectacular. And now Tom and I were just saying it's a good problem to have. You got guys getting healthy. Jason Verrett could be back. I know he was getting ready to get out there, as is Jimmy Ward, who, you know, we imagine when he's healthy, he's a guy that would play. Is there a possibility, or is it even feasible for a guy like Hufanga, because he's already kind of playing that position, to move into like a hybrid outside linebacker spot? Is he set where he is? I'm just wondering, with you and your size and when you played, is that something that is transferable, or is that something you guys have talked about at all?
Well, there's a lot of versatility back there. I think, first of all, you can't say enough. Hufanga's been obvious. I mean, he stands out the way he's playing. It's so fun to watch a guy who has tremendous football instincts. But when you can start trusting those and they start showing on the field, that's when you're really in a groove. And Huff, as we call him, is certainly in that groove right now. I think Tashawn Gibson has really, you know, I bet if you asked Huff, he'd tell you, this guy has helped me become a better football player. Tashawn's played a lot of football, and he's done it at a high level. And when Jimmy went down, that's what we were looking for, a veteran presence back there. We had no idea he'd still be able to play at this level. He's been really good. And so I think probably Huff has a ton of versatility to his game. Jimmy, you know, Jimmy's played corner before. That's what he first played when he came into the league. He's got a ton of versatility. So I think there is a way to use all of them. And D'Amico's, you know, really creative with his staff. And it's a good issue to have. But those two guys are playing great. And Jimmy will just add to it, as will Jason Verrett, who's a top, you know, when healthy, he's a special player at the cornerback position. So we're excited about having all these options.
I just want to follow up on Gibson, because, you know, this happens around the NFL. Guys get injured, and you see somebody get picked up, and you need him to sort of play a role for you immediately. And then you wonder, why was this guy hanging out there as a free agent? I mean, you just said, I don't know if anybody expected this level of play, but sometimes I see the moves that get made, and a guy like Gibson's a perfect example where he steps in, he's starting every week, and now, while there are guys coming back, you still feel like he can help you on the field. It shocks me when guys hang around for this long without helping a team. Is it just about roster crunches or opportunity or system? What do you think goes into that when a guy this good sits out there for that long?
I'd chalk it up to stupidity. You know, I don't know. We hadn't signed him either.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, he's a really good football player, and sometimes a guy just gets forgotten, and, you know, sure, sometimes injury factor in. But this is a guy who really has played at a high level. You know, he was at home in Dallas when he came to you know, Minnesota. We were back there practicing them when he did his workout. And you could see a guy that had been, you know, I think that what told me a lot about him, he hadn't been in a camp. You know, he hadn't been anywhere for the entire off season, but he was in great shape. He really was. So I was like, shoot, this guy looks like he can play right now. Let's do it. And it helped that there was familiarity. I think Kyle's first year in Cleveland as a coach, Gip was with that team. Daniel Bullocks, our safeties coach, coached him in Jacksonville. So it's always nice when people know the person. And he's a guy we've kind of been tracking for 3-4 years, but, like, we're guilty of it too. You know, why didn't we have him in our camp? And, you know, but I'm sure glad he was out there. But I don't think we thought he could come in and play at the level he's played thus far. And I really commend him for being ready, in shape. I think that speaks to the pro that he is.
And with the last name Gibson, you can always, you got the win one for the Gipper speech in your back pocket at some point. A little early for that, but maybe later on.
Will they get that, Tom? Will that go over their heads?
Who cares? You got to use it. You don't have the opportunity to use it very often. You got to use it when the opportunity presents itself. I want to point out Aaron Banks in his play, because we talked a lot about this, John. Interior of the offensive line. How's the interior of the offensive line going to be? How are they going to be? They've been, you know, they've had their moments where they've been really good, and some weak moments, of course. But Banks has been really good. I mean, just watching him a little bit, rewatching the game and looking at him play, I mean, he's a guy you don't talk about a lot, which is a good thing for an offensive lineman. Usually we only talk about it when they're giving up sacks or maybe holding, stuff like that. But I think, you know, he deserves a little bit of praise because he's been really good early in the season.
He certainly does. You're exactly right. And you know, I always marvel because the same thing happened to me. What as a young football player, what some confidence can do for you. You know, I think Aaron, you know, you face our guys, you know, Armstead, Givens, you know, Ridgeway, you know, you Kinlaw, you face those guys in camp, you're gonna take some L's. And so, you know, camp wasn't all rosy, and there were a lot of people with a microscope on him, and he had his wins, but he had his losses. And you know, one thing I know from the style, not only the players we have on the D-line, but the style that, because we attack, training camp, off-season can be very difficult, but it's also like, hey, this is the toughest you're going to see. And so I think it was really cool to see Banks go in, you know, week one against Chicago and hold his own and play really well. And then to watch him week two play a little bit better. And he's taken that leap every week and went right down to playing. And it's not like we stuck him out there and said, hey, Aaron Donald's yours. But there were plenty of times in that game where he had him one-on-one and he held up. And so you get that confidence, all that talent starts showing up. And he looks like a different player than he did in camp. It's a testament to Aaron, the way he's worked. He worked extremely hard this offseason. It's a testament to Chris Foerster, our offensive line coach, the guys around him. But Aaron's been a bright spot, as has Spencer Burford. Yeah. Spencer's had his rookie mistakes, but, you know, the cool thing with these guys is they're just scratching the surface, and the upside of where these guys can take their games along with Brindell is extremely high. And so those guys have been, I think, a real bright spot for us as a team. I think a lot of people would have said a question mark going into the year.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Talking to John Lynch on the UMA Guest Line. We do it every couple of weeks. Niners and the Panthers this weekend. We'll have a pregame for you right here on KNBR 104.5 and 680 at 10 a.m. I want to ask you about the backfield, because when Elijah Mitchell went down, we all knew Jeff Wilson Jr. was going to step into that role. And I think the thought about him, and obviously it's still early, was he's a really good running back, a great complimentary piece. We've seen him in this offense for a number of years, and I like the way he runs. I think everybody does. Last week, he was the primary guy, but also really the only guy. Debo carried it, I think, once or twice. Kyle Juszczyk carried it, and you didn't have to use the run game as much as I think normally the offense does, but 18 carries for him. What do you think he's capable of in terms of workload? Do you think you need somebody else at some point to take some of that load from him as we get deeper into the season?
I do. You know, I think we were, you know, the other day he had those 18 carries, and I think Kyle is cognizant of that. We didn't have a ton of plays offensively. So, you know, the J.P. Masons, the Tevin Colemans, the Marlon Macks didn't have their ops. But I promise you those are coming. I think we're feeling some promising news about Ty Davis Price being ready here in the near future. His rehab is going really well. And so, you know, we like that collection of talent. You know, thus far, Jeff's been doing a lot of the work. And, you know, Jeff's deal is he's always been a really good player when he stayed healthy, and that's been his challenge. But he's really worked hard, you know, this offseason to try to stay healthy and stay out there on the field. Thus far, he's been doing a really good job. But we're going to have to get other contributions with, you know, and keep Jeff healthy. And let's see what J.P. Mason can do. We know Tevin Coleman, he's done it for a long time in this league. Marlon Mack hasn't had a lot of ops since he's been here, but he's a talented player. And then hopefully we get Ty Davis back and you know, Elijah, you know, down the road here a little bit. And that can be a real strength for this team.
My guess is, and this is just a guess, John, that a Kittle game is coming fairly soon, that there's going to be a game where he just pops and does his normal 8 catches, 90 yards, 100 yards, something like that. I know he doesn't care because he'll go out there and block all day long and be happy with it, but would you agree with that, that it fairly soon a Kittle game's going to pop?
Yeah, I feel like that. You know, I actually thought the last game would be a Kittle game. You know, sometimes you just don't know how the game's going to flow. And, you know, the great thing about, I think every game's a Kittle game, because if he's not doing it in the passing game, he's going to find a way to do it with the way he blocks. Yeah. He's a difference maker there. And that's what I respect so much about George, is that, you know, the fantasy owners might not be happy, but we're happy because he makes a difference with the way he plays. And then he does. He just has this love for the game that I think is contagious. And I feel it. He gets me fired up. I think he gets our sidelines fired up. He gets our team fired up. He gets our crowd fired up. So George just, he brings a lot. And so even when he's not catching the ball, but we've all seen those huge games, and I think you're exactly right, Tom. And the more he's out there and working with Jimmy, he'll get more and more integrated into this passing offense. But that's the great thing, and I think it's why people respect his game so much around the league, because he's a complete football player.
You know, John, we see it a lot of times, like in basketball, you see it like early in Warrior games, they try to get Klay going, like they'll feed him and he comes off a couple of screens. You want to get him heated up and in rhythm. Does that ever happen with an offense in football, like deciding, hey, we want to get a guy like George going? Or obviously you guys do it with Debo, put the ball in his hands, basically any opportunity you get, and just see what he could do. Let him run out there and make the DBs try to tackle him or not tackle him, like we saw on Monday. But does that ever happen in an offense in the NFL where you say, we'd like to get this guy going, so you try to draw some stuff up for him early?
Yeah, it does. I mean, one of my favorite things each week, my wife will look at me like, wait, you have a night off and you're going to go down to the hotel, and it's because I want to hear Kyle's openers, you know, because that gives you a great lens into, you know, he does his first 25 plays and he talks through them. And like that Jeff Wilson run, you know, Kyle, you know, that toss with the wham, Charlie Warner coming back on the nose tackle, you know, the other night, he said, hey, we're going to throw this at him. We think they're going to flow on the toss. I think, Jeff, you're going to get into the secondary. The rest is on you. And, you know, Jeff didn't have to do a whole lot. There was a clear path, but it's fun to be a part of that. And, yeah, you can try to. The problem is with a guy like Kittle, there's a lot of eyes on him. And so sometimes those guys are used as decoy, as is players like Debo. But the thing is, it felt like when I was playing, if you just had one great receiver, you know, you were good. Now it's like the best teams have three or four. You know, you got to have multiple weapons. Yeah. And, you know, I think we do. And so, you know, we haven't even seen, you know, I think a guy like Ray-Ray McCloud, you know, we've seen him as a punt returner come close to breaking him. But, I think there's going to come a time in this year where Ray-Ray's a big part and an explosive part of our offense. So there's a lot of weapons here and a lot of people to feed. But our guys are pretty selfless. So they like they all want their touches, but they pull for their other guys when they're getting the touches. But it's a long season, and they're all going to have their opportunities.
Well, John, I think we all look at these as a couple of winnable games. It'll be a fun couple of weeks. I know you guys are getting ready to get out of town for 2 weeks, staying at the Greenbrier, right, at the week in between, getting ready for the Falcons next week. I'm just wondering for you, as an old NFC South guy with the Buccaneers, does the seeing the Panthers logo get your blood boiling?
Yeah, that was the old NASCAR division, you know, after we it was Tampa, Carolina, and New Orleans, and Atlanta. So, you know, Carolina, what I remember about them as an expansion team, like they were really good right away. That was a playoff team in their first year of existence. They kind of stacked that expansion draft. I mean, they had guys like Sam Mills and Eugene Robinson, Wesley Walls. I remember Kerry Collins was their quarterback. They were a good football team right away. So played a lot there. You know, I'll tell you, this Carolina team, their record doesn't reflect it, but it's a talented bunch. It really is. You know, we're going to have to go execute. I think they're desperate also, a lot of heat on their coaching staff and whatnot. So we'll get their best shot, and, you know, we're going to have to bring it. And excited about, you know, I always like these. Don't like being away from my family, but I do think it's a chance for our team to be around each other a little more than we typically are on the time away from the field. So I think there is some level of bonding in these 2 week trips that we take. We've typically done well on them. So we got to make sure that that keeps the that remains the case.
Yeah, I know those teams were good with Dom Capers when they first got going, but I imagine you got Steve Berline or Chris Wenke a couple of times yourself, right? Jumping routes
Randy,
on them.
Randy Fasani.
There you go. John, it's always fun, man. Always appreciate the time. Have a great trip 2 weeks out there, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks,
great stuff from John Lynch.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.